The NBA playoffs are in full swing, and Penguin Radio has got you covered. I'm Jeff Safford, and tune in to my show, Sports Talk in the Icebox, on Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m., where you will receive full in-depth analysis of everything going on in the NBA playoffs. Everything from the highlight reel dunks. To what the NBA's biggest stars are doing on basketball's biggest stage. Tune in to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Right on, Cowboys! What a play!
Good Monday, or excuse me, Wednesday afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk in the Icebox. I am your host, Jeff Safford. We got a really fun show coming up for you this afternoon. A lot of big sports news to get to all around the sports world. So we're going to get right to it. First segment of the day, we're going to talk a little bit of NBA basketball, the playoffs. As my ad just said, is in full swing, the NBA playoffs. We're going to get to some of the stories going on in the playoffs and some other notes and news around the league as well. We're going to get in some NFL offseason talks, some breaking news coming out today about Greg Hardy and what's going to be happening with the suspension from the NFL. And we have some news coming in also from a Philadelphia judge regarding concussions and that whole get up as well, so we're going to get to that and some things about the schedule for next year. And third segment, we're going to talk some MLB baseball, talk about if some of the things we've seen early in this season are just glimpses of greatness or if there are more signs of things to come in Major League Baseball, and look at some of the matchups tonight. Mad Bum and Kershaw going at it tonight, Giants-Dodgers. And then in our last segment, we're going to talk a little bit about Pat Tillman and his effect on the NFL and professional sports. Today is the 11-year anniversary of Pat Tillman's death. All right, so that's going to be our show for this afternoon. We're going to get right into it. Like I mentioned, we're going to get into the NBA and NBA playoffs. And actually, this segment's going to be kind of broken up into two separate little segments. We're going to talk first about some of the news off the court that's going on in the NBA, and then we're going to get into some of the matchups and look back last night on the NBA playoffs. So let's start with some of the off-court news. Kind of a surprising bit of news to start off. The head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder was fired today, Scott Brooks. The head coach of the Thunder was fired, or former coach of the Thunder, was fired today after seven seasons in Oklahoma City. And this is the first year in a number of years that the Thunder have failed to miss the playoffs, and they are sitting at home playing golf a little bit early this season due to not making the playoffs. We saw the Thunder do some good things. Russell Westbrook had an unbelievable season. We've mentioned his name a lot on this program, but they also had some hardships, and you know, had a year that was definitely not up to the Thunder's standards, at least what they have been the last couple of years. It wasn't all that long ago that the Thunder were playing in the NBA Finals, and obviously they didn't do that well against the Miami Heat, but they did make it there, and they did win the Western Conference and had been a major player in the Western Conference for the last couple of years. This year, not so much. With all that being said, though, I do not believe that it was really a justified firing of Scott Brooks, just because you look at the Thunder team, and so many of the problems they had this season was due to injury. I mean, let's be honest and real here. Any team that doesn't have an MVP caliber player out for a significant amount of time on their roster is going to see some struggles. I mean, if Steph Curry were to miss a lot of time, or James Harden, or LeBron James, or any of these huge star players, and the Thunder had two that missed significant time. Russell Westbrook missed significant time and multiple times this season, and last year's MVP, Kevin Durant, who was out for the entire end of the season push, really, and missed a big chunk of the season before that as well. So, I mean, nobody wants to make excuses, but in this case, I think the Thunder and Scott Brooks are deemed to do so. If the Thunder had all their weapons and had a season like this, then it would be a different deal. Then you'd look at it and say, well, Scott, you guys had a pretty good season, but you're fired. You know, then it would have been a lot more justifiable to me. But to me, this is kind of a witch hunt and one of those firings that how better do you really think the Thunder could get in terms of coaching talent than Scott Brooks? I don't think that it can be very good. I mean, Scott Brooks is a well-respected coach. He's a guy that has a lot of respect around the league, that doesn't have a bad MO, and I'm sure he will get a job in the NBA as a head coach next year, period. Put down money on it in Las Vegas, you know, like, to me, it's a done deal. There will be a team out there next year in need of a head coach that would hire a guy like Scott Brooks. The Lakers? There's an interesting idea. Maybe go to the Lakers, and then maybe Russell Westbrook, when he's a free agent in a couple years, goes back and joins his old coach. A little bit of intrigue there, but a lot of time before all that stuff will take place. And another bit of news, Tony Wrestler, I think his real name is Anthony, but everybody calls him Tony. Tony Wrestler and his group have bought the Atlanta Hawks for $850 million. This group, they were one of the top three suitors for the Los Angeles Clippers last year, but Steve Ballmer kind of outbid everybody. They put up a bid of $1.2 billion, nothing shabby, but Ballmer's $2 billion is a little bit more money. So this group now buys the Atlanta Hawks. Wrestler himself is worth about $1.4 billion, and he has made most of his money in finance and sees himself as kind of an entrepreneur, quote-unquote, which, you know, who really knows who that means if you're not a business guy? I'm not really a business guy. I just know what he's done and know where he's made his money. So anyway, and he lives in Los Angeles. He has a couple kids and a wife, so looks pretty, you know, pretty normal guy. But the thing that really strikes me about this guy is that he is a West Coast guy. He's from L.A., and the team that he just bought is in Atlanta. It's not like a guy from Turner Sports bought the Atlanta Hawks. So it makes me think, it definitely makes me think, is this team going to be staying in the ATL, or are they going to be moving elsewhere? And I think that there is a good chance that they could be on the move in the next couple of years. Not so much because of their arena situation, which is a little bit sketchy, but they are scheduled to be put into a new facility coming up pretty soon. But it's that this team just does not get the best support that I think that it could get in its, you know, a place like Atlanta. Atlanta is a big metropolitan area, but they just don't get that great of support. The fans aren't that into it. Even this year, where the Hawks had an incredible year, you know, second best record in the NBA, first in the East, you know, cruises to home court advantage. You know, they're starting five, all average over 10 double digits a game. You know, a real fun team to watch, and they struggle to fill the gym up. And that's just, to me, kind of a blaring issue with the franchise. And, you know, with a lot of these other cities out there that would love to have an NBA team, like a city like Seattle or Las Vegas, you know, one of these other spots that may get one, then I think there's a chance that they could move there. Absolutely. I don't buy them moving to LA. Heck no. Three teams in LA, I don't think that that's going to work. And I mean, seemingly, it seems like there's almost not even enough room for two teams in LA. It kind of, you know, the LA market's kind of based on, oh, what have you done for me lately? And the Lakers, who are usually the ones in the media, are not getting the media attention this season because they stink. And this year, the Clippers are the hot ticket in town, so they're getting all the press. So it'll be an interesting thing to follow with the new ownership and how it affects the franchise of the Hawks, and if there will be any talks of the Hawks moving out of Atlanta. And the last bit of off-the-court news in the NBA is in the injury department, and Rajon Rondo, the point guard for the Dallas Mavericks, who are playing in a first-round series against the Houston Rockets. Rondo is going to be out indefinitely with a back injury, and that's really tough news for the Dallas Mavericks, who were playing without Rondo all of last night. He didn't play really in their playoff game last night, and to make matters worse, the Mavericks got rocked, got beat by almost 20 points. Dwight Howard had a huge game, and now the Mavericks find themselves behind 2-0 in a series that they'll have to play without Rajon Rondo. So you don't want to say turn out the lights to the Dallas Mavericks season, but this definitely could be that type of a blow, especially when you're playing against a team like the Houston Rockets in the NBA playoffs. And kind of a good segue now is we're going to look at some of the matchups in the NBA playoffs coming up tonight. The Nets and the Hawks are going to tip off right as my show will be ending at 4 o'clock. The Hawks are favored to win that one by 9.5. Lead the series 1-0. I don't expect, kind of ironically enough, I was just kind of bashing the Hawks and their fans. We'll have to see how loud they are in tonight's game and see if any of their fans were listening. The Blazers and the Grizzlies start at 5 o'clock on TNT. That's the first national broadcast game. The Hawks and Nets are on NBA TV. Blazers trailing that series 1-0. Grizzlies trying to take a 2-0 lead at home. And then the nightcap, the last game, probably will be the best game. The Spurs and the Clippers will be going at it tonight. That game starting at 7:30 from Staples Center. And I think this will be a very interesting game to watch. Because when you look at these two teams, they're built very differently. The Spurs are a team that plays very unselfishly and have a lot of guys that can hurt you in and outside of their starting five players who, you know, their starting five is, you know, the same old cast of characters. You know, it's Tony Parker, it's Danny Green, it's Kawhi Leonard, Duncan, and Splitter. I mean, the same guys they've had for a number of years now. And a lot of their bench guys are the same. You know, Boris Diaw is going to show up off the bench. You know, Manu Ginobili is going to show up off the bench, you know, and give you some good minutes. Where the Clippers are built solely, pretty much, on their starting five. And, you know, in fact, almost Jamal Crawford as a member of that starting five as well, even though he is technically the sixth man. But beyond that, the Clippers really do not have too much. And the thing my biggest question with the Clippers will be, will that starting five be able to hold up for the series? You know, can they win four games quick enough, you know, before that starting five runs out of gas? And off the other side for the Spurs, will they be able to limit that starting five? And I think the biggest thing that they'll have to do better is playing defense in the paint against DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. And playing against guys that can play above the rim is nothing new to the Spurs, and I think that they can definitely do it. I mean, they spent the last two NBA finals defending probably the best player at the rim in basketball in LeBron James. And if they can handle LeBron, then I think Spurs defensively can handle almost anybody. And I think they should try to handle Jordan and Griffin similarly to a LeBron. on defense and just try to play solid defense, you know, have plenty of help over the top. Just don't let them live at the rim. Force them into some difficult shots and, you know, get out and run a little bit. If you're San Antonio, that'd be good. Get out, hit some threes, get Danny Green going from outside and just kind of play Spurs basketball. We didn't really see it that much in game one, that just perfect offensive execution that the Spurs are really capable of doing. And the Spurs, I think, really do need to win this one, even up this series. I know this series will change again dramatically when it goes back to San Antonio. So if San Antonio is playing even, I think they have a much better shot of coming out of this series, because it's going to be an awful tough task for the Spurs to have to try to beat the Clippers 4 out of 5 times. So that's your three matchups for tonight. The Hawks and Nets, I don't think really the Nets have the horses to run with Atlanta. They might do something like they did in the last game and hang around for a little while, but I expect the Hawks and their depth to just be too much for the Brooklyn Nets. And the Trailblazers and the Grizzlies, I think the Blazers are in pretty big trouble, because they're pretty much a half-court team, the Blazers are, you know, especially without Wesley Matthews playing outside. And I just don't think that a half-court team can match up that well with the Memphis Grizzlies, because the Grizzlies' defense is just so tough. And when they're playing at home, I think it's just going to be an even tougher task. And if Portland wants to have any chance to win, it's going to be get one or the two big guys in foul trouble, and Randolph or Gasol, and LaMarcus Aldridge and Damian Lillard both have to just completely go off. They have to have 30-plus point games and just be remarkable. So it's not looking good for the Portland Trail Blazers. All right, we're up against it here. We're going to head to our first break. That was our NBA playoff basketball segment. And just one quick note, the Golden State Warriors, the local team, they will continue their series against the New Orleans Pelicans tomorrow night from New Orleans, Thursday night, 6:30, I believe, is the tip-off. The Warriors leading that one 2-0. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some NFL offseason. So you're listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are 4 times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The NFL offseason is upon us, and Penguin Radio has got you covered. I'm Jeff Safford. Tune into my show, Sports Talk in the Icebox, on Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. to get everything you need to know about the NFL offseason. Free agency, transactions, the NFL draft, we've got it all. Tune in to radio.dominican.edu for more.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment.
Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for the mom is truly transparent.
Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Safford, here with you this afternoon. And it almost seems kind of irrelevant at this point to say that we have a beautiful day weather-wise, because it's just been such a beautiful winter and spring here weather-wise in Northern California. Lots of sunny days and warm temperatures. So we're not going to say anything more but about that. So we just finished up our NBA playoff talk. And if you want to listen back to that, go on to radio.dominican.edu, click student shows, and go to podcasts. This will be show number 9. If you want to go back and listen to this, and you can go ahead and listen to all of the student content produced right here at Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. All right, so headed closer to the draft. Seems crazy that we're headed there. A lot of the NFL teams are getting back at it this week with off-season workouts. Nothing really too crazy in terms of the workouts. And, you know, Adrian Peterson for the Minnesota Vikings, who was cleared of all suspensions by the NFL last week. He was not at Vikings camp. That whole issue with him not getting along with the Vikings is going to continue to be an issue, even though it probably shouldn't. But kind of the big news coming out today, I don't know if you want to call it breaking news. It's been out for a little while now. But the NFL has handed down their suspension to now Dallas Cowboy defensive end, was a defensive end for the Carolina Panthers, but now is a Cowboy who was picked up by the Cowboys in free agency. Greg Hardy has been suspended for the first 10 games of the NFL regular season without pay, of course. And that suspension is a pretty big one and will cost Greg Hardy a lot of money. Will not cost the Dallas Cowboys a cent, as their contract that they made up for Greg Hardy was a game-by-game basis. He would get paid for however many games he would play. Now, this suspension will definitely be appealed by Greg Hardy and the NFLPA, NFL Players Association. And I just don't know if the NFL is going to budge on this, especially with where the NFL is with domestic violence issues. And we kind of talked about this last week with the show, that the NFL is kind of, they're in kind of a shady situation right now. And they've handled a lot of these situations with bad player behavior in the league badly over the last couple of years. So they can't really be very lenient, even though Greg Hardy missed the entire 2014 season due to the issues that he had with domestic violence. But it's just kind of going to be an interesting argument to see if Greg Hardy will get it a few games tacked off. And I wouldn't be surprised either way. I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL stays firm and says, we're not going to give us an ounce of leeway here at all. Or I could see them saying, well, I guess we can take a couple games off, kind of like what they did with Josh Gordon. But even though I think it would still be in the ballpark of 10 games, I'm thinking, I don't know, like, probably, even if they were to shorten it. The shortest I would think that they would do it is maybe 8, and that's really the suspension I was expecting from the get-go with this whole deal, was around 8 games. So 10 games even surprises me a little bit of how much it was. And the Cowboys, I mean, they knew what they were getting when they were signing Greg Hardy. They were just hoping that he would be around for a lot of games this season, and it sure looks as though that he will not be seeing much playing time in 2015. And in other news in the NFL, a Philadelphia federal judge has approved a plan to resolve lawsuits regarding concussions in the National Football League. The plan is going to cost the league about $1 billion over 65 years, which is a pretty good sump of cash. The NFL is expecting between 6 and 20,000 retired players to suffer from Alzheimer's or dementia at some point in their life. And that plan is expected to pay about $190,000 to each of them for medical costs and other just random things. It could also award $1 to $5 million to players that experience severe health problems in their early 30s or 40s. So if somebody finds out they have ALS or gets dementia or Alzheimer's when they're 40, they'll get a lot more compensation. And I think that this is good for the NFL, that a lot of these players are going to get the help that they need. But I hope that the NFL can also, so it can cover more than just, brain problems. And I understand that a lot of the big problems here with the NFL health-wise is with brain trauma. But I know personally that it's not the only issue with former players. I happen to know someone who was a former NFL player, an NFL lineman by the name of Keith Van Horn. He played in the NFL for, I guess maybe I shouldn't have mentioned his name, but too late now. Anyway, but he played in the NFL for a lot of years, and he was an All-American at USC and all these great things. Was on the 85 Bears championship team, and he's just had some health issues that have definitely been due to his, that would definitely have to go back to his playing days. And, I think that guys like that should get the help they need. If guys got too beat up playing football in their 20s and have a few little health problems, then the NFL should help them out. And I think that it's only fair. And so I'm glad that the NFL is going down this route. So a lot of these issues, like we saw, like with Junior Seau and all the issues we see now with concussions, can kind of go to the wayside. And looking now in the NFL, obviously mentioned the NFL draft is vastly coming up, and there's a lot of talk of who people think are going to be drafted in the top part of the draft. There's a lot of mock drafts and things of that nature going up. Todd McShay just released his mock draft 5.0, where he slated where he thought the top 10 players were going to go. A couple surprises, not really at the top. Jameis Winston still listed number 1, Marcus Mariota number 2, but a couple other interesting. Dante Fowler listed in the third slot. Shane Ray all the way up at number 5. Todd Gurley at number 6. Kevin White number 10. So a couple of interesting names there listed on Tom McShay's top 10, just because, it's the thing about these mock drafts is you really don't know where a lot of these players are going to go. And I mean, Todd Gurley at number 6, that would be a crazy one for me, especially with him coming off an injury and all of that. And Shane Ray at number 5, there's been a lot of questions with him and his size, and is he big enough, or is he going to be another D. Ford or DeAndre Jordan, where he just don't figure it out that well. And it's just tough to evaluate players, and it's going to be interesting to see where all the players go in the draft. The draft coming up next week, a week from tomorrow, from Chicago, and that'll be a much bigger emphasis on our show next week as we'll look forward more to the NFL draft. And speaking more of the two top players, Marcus Mariota, kind of not really that noteworthy, but Mariota does sign a deal with Subway. He's going to be in some of their ads. And Jameis Winston, speaking of the issue he had off the field with crab legs, I'm sure you remember that. He mentioned that he thought that he had, that he thought that the crab legs were given to him in that whole situation where he was charged with stealing $30 worth of crab legs from a place. And I don't know if I really believe that, Jameis. Like, really? Let's just rewind here with this whole deal. A lot of the reason why this guy got so much attention is because the security footage of Jameis in the store was released, and it clearly shows Winston walking up to a meat counter, like a fish counter, and being given the crab legs, you know, just like at your local meat market where you order what you want, they take it, they wrap it up for you, and you're on your way. So that's what happened, and instead of him going to the register and paying, he just walked out the door. So, Jameis, you're telling me that was given to you. So even if the guy behind the counter did give it to you, great. That doesn't warrant, he doesn't have the power to charge you for that right then and there. You pay for that at the cash register. So, oh, Jameis, so you just saying that was just given to you for free? That is just unbelievable. Like, come on.
That is an absolute crock of
Yeah, come on now. That's just, Bob Knight puts it perfectly, you know, that's just an absolute crock of crap. You know, that's just, come on. Like, you really think we're that stupid that to believe something like that? Please. Oh, Jameis. he's going to be an interesting guy to watch in the NFL, I tell you. You know, because he's going to get a lot of people talking about him in a negative way, just like I am right now. And I think it's well warranted with all the mistakes he made at Florida State. And let's not forget that girl who is bringing that case to court, the case with sexual assault back in 2012, so that problem isn't going away. So a lot of kind of interesting issues may be going on with Jameis Winston when you look at him and where he will be headed. But he will most likely be the number one pick in the draft next week, so maybe that is all for naught. And looking ahead more to 2015 in the NFL season, the NFL regular season schedule got released yesterday. The NFL does this always in kind of an odd way, I think, with scheduling, is first they show everyone who each team will be playing in the next season. So by probably about midway through the 2014 season, all of the opponents for the next year will be released and where those games will be played. So the Packers, or say a team like the Packers or the Patriots, you know, they knew, or the Seahawks, whoever you want to talk about, you know, those teams all knew who they would be playing and where those games would take place. But what we didn't know was what the exact schedule for next year was going to be slated for. And now we do know that. So kind of to highlight just a couple of games for next year. I know it's way too early to be starting the preview for next year, but the opening game, the opening night game for the NFL, which is, I think, is a cool tradition where they hold it at the home field of the previous year Super Bowl champion on Thursday night. So last year it was in Seattle. They got to unveil the banner for the Super Bowl. And this year it'll be in New England at Gillette Stadium. down in Foxborough in Massachusetts. I've actually been there once before, and it's kind of an interesting place to go because the stadium it really does sit all by itself. Foxborough is a suburb. I don't even know if you could call it a suburb of Boston. It's about 35, 40 minutes from Boston if you got the right traffic on the I-90 and in the back roads. But where it sits in Foxborough, I mean, there's nothing there. It's just kind of a couple, small neighborhood in the middle of Massachusetts. And suddenly you're driving down the road and boom, you turn on this one road called Patriot Place and boom, there's Gillette sitting right there, has like this, whoa, here's a 70,000 seat stadium sitting out in the middle of nowhere. But anyway, the Patriots will have their home opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers on the first Thursday of the NFL season. And we're going to add some other fun matchups. DeMarco Murray will be going back up against the Cowboys in week 2 and week 9. He will make his return to Dallas in week 9. The Buffalo Bills will visit Philadelphia in week 14. That'll make LeSean McCoy making his return to Philadelphia after leaving in free agency. And last but not least, I think this is pretty cool. Brett Favre, when he retired, led the NFL in pretty much every offensive, every quarterback category you can think of: yards, touchdowns, interceptions, consecutive games played. I mean, the guy is just a living legend. And retired a number of years ago, played 16 years for the Packers, kind of had that almost like a messy divorce-like situation with Green Bay, where he left Green Bay, came out of retirement, then came back, and then left Green Bay, went to the Jets, and then really got everybody angry and went to Minnesota. But Packers have kind of patched things up with Favre, and Brett will be headed back to Lambeau for the first time to have his jersey retired on Thanksgiving night next season against the Chicago Bears. They're holding a game at Lambeau Field that night, and they're playing the Bears, and Brett will have his jersey retired in that game. And I mean, what would be a better game to retire his jersey? Maybe the other game you could like is maybe that Seattle matchup that Green Bay has against the Seahawks in week 2. But the Bears, I mean, their arch rival, I mean, might as well shove it in their face that they've had better quarterback play for about the last, ever. Again, when you look at the two franchises, two rivals, the Bears and the Packers. So, all right. Well, that's going to wrap up our NFL talk segment. We always love to get in some NFL talk here on Sports Talk in the Icebox. We'll get some more NFL talk next week with the NFL draft coming up. We'll maybe do a little bit of a mock draft next week. Yeah, why not? We'll do maybe the first 10 picks. I'm not going to quite go like Gil Brandt and all those guys at Sirius NFL Network where they do the first 2 or 3 rounds, but the first pick or the first 10 picks, I think that would be a pretty fair thing to do. So maybe that's what we'll do next week. We'll look forward to a first top 10 pick mock draft of the NFL draft coming up next week on Sports Talk in the Icebox. All right, we're up against it. We're going to head to the break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Major League Baseball. So stay with us here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Josh Groban. My favorite thing about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and helps get it to kids in need, but they can't do it alone. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show here on Penguin Radio. You're listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Safford, here with you and from Penguin Radio here on the Dominican University campus in San Rafael, California on a Wednesday afternoon, 4:22:15. No, it is not 4:20 anymore. I guess, what the heck. This is a college radio station. We can talk about that. I've always kind of heard this rumor regarding that, but apparently it's true. That whole, I guess you can call it a tradition with 4:20, started right here in San Rafael with San Rafael High School students started the whole thing. I heard that it was these kids used to meet at 4:20 every afternoon to go look for this, like, it's almost like the kids from the Goonies, except they're stoners. They're looking for like this pot plant or this marijuana growing thing that was lost. Like, it was like they're looking for buried treasure or something, you know, but it was, you know, this guy got arrested or, you know, one of those stories. And, you know, apparently there was a whole stash of stuff just left up there, you know, just one of those types of stories, you know. And I just think it's kind of funny. I mean, maybe it's not fully appropriate to be talking about on a sports talk show, but, you know, it happened right here in San Rafael's backyard. So anyway, kind of fun. All right, so we just wrapped up our NFL talk for the week NFL offseason. The draft coming up next week, and the NFL schedule is out. Now we're on to some Major League Baseball talk for the next couple minutes. A couple interesting news and notes around the league. Kind of the first thing to note, a local story, Barry Bonds, the obstruction of justice conviction that he had regarding the steroid case has been thrown out. The conviction has been thrown out by an appeals court, so all of the charges against him regarding the false statements that he supposedly made about him receiving performance-enhancing drugs from Bosley and all that whole debacle, that case has been thrown out. And so no wonder Barry Bonds looked so happy last night at the Giants game with sitting next to Larry Bear. Said definitely Barry Bonds will get to sleep a little easier, and this will surely not make him any less of a controversial topic when you're looking at Barry Bonds, but at least he won't have that conviction holding over his head anymore. And you know, obviously we're still early in this Major League Baseball season. Still, seems like just yesterday we had opening day around Major League Baseball, and But now a couple weeks into the season, we're starting to see some of the contenders rise and some of them not so much, you know. We've seen teams like the Boston Red Sox come out looking good. We've seen teams like the Tigers and the Royals looking very good, and that AL Central looks like the division to beat so far, with those two teams sitting at the top of the division, and then some of the other teams behind them might get it going. You know, and you look at the Cleveland Indians, they might be able to do something. Even the Chicago White Sox, who, speaking of the White Sox, they are playing in the only game that has gone final to this point today in Major League Baseball, picked up a 6-0 win against the Cleveland Indians. Indians off to a rough start, 5-9. White Sox, not terrible, sitting at 6-8. Jeff Samardzija picked up his first win as a Chicago White Sox today, going 6 strong innings, shutout baseball for the White Sox. And so anyway, back to that division, I think, yeah, that's going to be a crazy division. And we've seen a couple of surprise teams as well. You know, teams start a little slow. The Nationals, sitting only at 7-7, they have played a little better as the last week has gone on. But the couple of big surprises, who would have thought at the beginning of the year that 14 games in, the New York Mets would be sitting in first place in the NL East. Pretty crazy stuff when you look at their team sitting at 11-3, and that's with missing David Wright for a long time as well. So kind of a interesting story there. And also the Houston Astros in first place in the AL West. Are you kidding me? Like, this team's been one of the worst teams in the majors for a couple of years now. They've just been a complete joke. And this year they've started 8-6, so attaboy to them. But a couple other big games to watch for tonight. The Cardinals and Nationals going head-to-head. Doug Fister taking on John Lackey in that game from Nationals Park in Washington. Sets to start in about 10 minutes. Braves and Mets, the team that I was just talking about. Dylan G is going for the Mets. Eric Stoltz, the old San Diego Padre, going for the Braves. The Braves, another team that doesn't look too bad, sitting at 8-5. Red Sox and Rays are in action tonight. Joe Kelly going for Boston. Nathan Carnes for the Rays. Angels and A's, good pitching matchup. Jared Weaver hasn't started out very well, but has been a good pitcher in years past. He's on the hill tonight for the Angels. And Sonny Gray, the ace for the Oakland Athletics, on the mound. And kind of the big matchup, and kind of to go with this theme of, you know, looking at, you know, these teams that are being successful, and you've seen a couple players have surprise success. Alex Rodriguez definitely fits into that category with 4 early home runs this season. But always the big question with all these early starts and, you know, seeing teams succeed or not succeed is this an illusion or is this reality? Is this really what we're going to see this season? And I think the game tonight for between two bitter rivals out west, the Dodgers and the Giants, I think tonight will be a big view of what, you know, it could set the tone for a lot of the regular season when you look at these two teams. Clayton Kershaw, the Cy Young Award winner for the Dodgers, 2-time Cy Young Award winner, going up against World Series MVP and 3-time World Series champion Madison Bumgarner tonight. The really awesome pitching matchup. 2 phenomenal lefties going head-to-head. And I think this is a really interesting matchup between these. Like I said, we've seen both of these teams kind of go in opposite directions so far this season. The Giants started out awful. They had a 8 or 9 game losing streak that started 2 weekends ago and went into last week. The Giants finally broke the streak last Saturday in the ring ceremony, lost the series 3 out of 4 games to Arizona over the weekend, did pick up the win last night against the Dodgers. In the first game of that series, Tim Lincecum looks pretty good, induced 4 double plays most since, I believe it was 2002, Leivon Hernandez was the last Giants pitcher to do it. Leivon Hernandez, there's a throwback name. Anyway, but these two teams have been kind of going in opposite directions, and you know, if Madison Bumgarner comes out and throws well tonight, he'll kind of reestablish himself as a quality ace, you know, one of the top pitchers in baseball. But if he keeps struggling, I'm sure a lot of people will start to ask questions about the big lefty. You know, is he having a World Series hangover? You know, is he tired? All of these, you know, questions, you know, his breaking ball isn't breaking. You know, his pitchers look a lot flatter. He's making more pitching mistakes. You know, all these questions about Madison. And looking at him, I think Aaron Rodgers could say it best when you're talking about Madison Bumgarner. L-R-E-L-A-X. Relax. That's, I think, would be what all Giants fans should do when thinking about Madison Bumgarner. I think everybody should just take a chill pill and relax. Everything's going to be okay. The Giants had this terrible, you know, slump to start the year, but at least the Giants are hoping that, Giants fans are hoping that they'll be able to turn it around. And I think with a good pitching performance tonight from Madison Bumgarner, I think the Giants can definitely look towards going down that track. So some big games coming on tonight, and a lot of stuff to look forward to for the rest of the Major League Baseball season. And we're kind of already running out of time, so instead of taking a break, we're just going to go right into our next segment. Let's make a quick couple quick notes. Today marks the 11-year anniversary of Pat Dillman's really tragic death over in Afghanistan. His story is just so remarkable. I'm surprised that nobody's made a movie of it yet. I mean, this guy, Pat Tillman, a local guy, was born and raised in Fremont, California. You know, played in the Pac-12 conference in football. He played for Arizona State. Was drafted in the seventh round. Kind of surprising. You don't see many players get success out of the seventh round, but had a great career. And then 2001, during the middle of his prime of his career, he chose to go serve the Army, and he lost his life doing so. You know, left all those millions of dollars. And the thing that's really profound about the story is that there's, to me, I don't think that there is a chance that this could ever happen again, especially a player of his caliber that would give up so much for his country and, you know, give up so much for himself as well. I mean, he gave up a lot of money, endorsements, you know, probably, you know, living the good life. He gives up the ultimate sacrifice. And I know we hear a lot about Pat Tillman and his foundation and his story, but I think, especially on a day like this, I think it's like what we did with the Boston Marathon on our last show. I think it's important to remember these folks and remember what a guy like Pat Tillman did. I mean, his story is remarkable, and he deserves every bit of praise that has been given to him over the years. And I think that he is just a polarizing figure for sports in general. I mean, just to think about the things, you know, that he, like I mentioned, he gave up to do what he did. And like also I mentioned how there's just not much of a chance that this will ever happen again. So I think he's given like a good view of what America is all about, and think that Americans should think more about Pat Tillman and the sacrifices he made and the sacrifices that our fellow servicemen make for us every day so that we can live in the best country in the world, the United States of America. All right, so we are just about out of time here on Sports Talk in the Icebox. We'd like to thank everybody who's listened. We've only got one more show after this before the end of the semester, so getting down towards the end. Don't worry, I'll be back next semester with more sports talk next fall. I'm not sure if Stu Horn, my advisor, knows that already, but If you're listening out there, Stu, you're going to have to deal with me again for another semester. All right. Thanks, everybody, again for listening. You're listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm Jeff Safford. Have a great afternoon. Stay tuned for Ball is Life with DJ Smoove and DJ Roughhouse coming up in just a few minutes here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Have a great evening, everybody.